Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I've been around, but one thing I've never done is taken my shoes and socks off while playing in a Major League Baseball game. Like Jose Altuve. That is something I have yet to achieve. I want to tell you about this later. I did have the honor, at least that's how I'm looking at it, contributing a recipe to a local cookbook for charity. And I was so excited to do that. I was so flattered to be asked. And it took me like a month right to the deadline to decide which recipe, like what I wanted to contribute. Like I was just grinding at that last night. What am I going to go with? But yeah, I'll tell you more about that later. I'm excited about it. Also excited to have Ryan Green join me on the West Her Hotline, 92.5 in Jacksonville, Hacker After Dark. Ryan, I've known Mike Dempsey a long time, but I don't think you and I have spoken before. Where does the name, the nickname come from?
Yeah, Mike, good to be with you. In fact, I started 22 years ago as Mike Dempsey's intern, believe it or not. And my first day at work back in, I think it was 2002, if memory serves. He dressed up in nice golf attire, looked the part, and Mike goes, "Man, you're really dressed up for a sports radio intern." I said, "Yeah, I just want to look nice." He said, "You any good at golf?" I said, "Nope, I'm terrible." He said, "We're going to call you Hacker." And 22 years later, here we are.
Wow, I never knew there would be such a close connection with Mike, but that's a great story. Did you ever want to fight that, or just you went with it?
I just kind of went with it, and now other than my wife, although when she's mad at me, I get it every once in a while, and my mother, I'm Hacker to everybody else, and it's to the point now where my five-year-old son is referred as Little Hacker on our radio station.
Yes, I see that in the bio. Very good. Well, of course, it's the Bills and Jaguars on Monday night, week three. What are the vibes with Jacksonville? I'm guessing, I mean, at least there's frustration, obviously, so far. The tough loss in Miami and maybe almost an equally tough loss to Cleveland. Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson sounded pretty negative after Sunday's game. How do you see it?
Mike, the offense has been terrible. I mean, let's just call it what it is. They were good in the first two quarters in week one against Miami. The last six quarters have been ineptitude. I mean, it's been ridiculous. Christian Kirk had one catch for negative 1 yards last week. Brian Thomas Jr. is their only bright spot. He was on the field 44 times against Cleveland. They only threw it to him four of those 44. They can't run the ball. Travis Etienne had that devastating fumble in week one that cost them the game. The way it's being looked at down here is pretty simple. The defense has been very good, holding Miami to 20, holding Cleveland to one touchdown. They've lost the game because of their offense. Now, the one caveat to that is, I don't think they can play much worse on offense. And it took a 52-yard field goal at the gun for Miami to win in week one. And Jacksonville was at the Cleveland 33 and had a ball into the end zone as time expired. So they were in both games with their offense looking absolutely horrifying. So if there is any silver lining, I guess perhaps that's it going into Buffalo here in week three.
I get it. So Trevor Lawrence, I mean, of course, not, I don't have to tell you any of this, but former number one overall pick, got the bag, you know, in the offseason. Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winner. Like, these two seem to have the pedigree to be able to get this done here, but it's not going well. Where do fans most of the time, Ryan, point the finger?
Everybody's getting a finger pointed at him this week. I think Trent Baalke, the general manager, is getting more of it than anybody else because, look, I thought Baalke did a good job this offseason, but the one thing that we all talked about here in Jacksonville, Mike, was the offensive line. And when your big acquisition is Mitch Morse, who's obviously coming back to Buffalo on Monday night, nothing against him, but that's a 32-year-old center, is your big acquisition to a position group that was horrific last year in the Jaguar offensive line. Trevor got killed last year because they couldn't block anybody. And you don't really add anybody. You bring in Mitch Morse, all right, that's great, but that offensive line still is not very good. And last week against Cleveland, the Jaguars lost that game in large part because the offensive line couldn't block the ground's front four. And really against Miami in the fourth quarter, Jalen Phillips had his way with the Jaguar offensive line. So I think Baalke, the GM's getting a lot of the grief. Trevor's getting some. I mean, obviously, like you said, he got paid a lot of money. I don't feel they've lost these first two games because of Trevor Lawrence. Has he been great? No, but he's been serviceable. And I think it really boils down to play calling, and it boils down to issues along the offensive line.
And then that leaves Peterson and Press Taylor, I suppose. I've read a lot of criticism of Taylor, not so much this year, but more last year. And, you know, Peterson, again, he has the ring. Is he kind of immune then, the way you're describing it, where we're talking about the roster build and the quarterback and how it started? I would think for an offensive-minded coach who's been there for as long that he has, that I don't know if he's in trouble, but there would definitely be criticism.
There is definitely criticism, Mike. I think he will be in trouble if things start, you know, snowballing. Look, Shad Khan, the owner, was very clear this offseason. In fact, he said it twice, and even the second time he said it, he told the team, I was not misquoted in the team meeting at the beginning of training camp. His expectation is to win. When you give this offseason Trevor Lawrence, Joshua Hines-Allen, Tyson Campbell, Foye Oluokun, all these contract extensions, you've spent a lot of money in free agency on Eric Armstead, Mitch Morse, Darnell Savage, Gabe Davis, obviously. The owner's expectation is winning. And coming out of the gate and scoring, you know, averaging 15 points the first two games is not what anybody had in mind. I do think if Doug Peterson doesn't start winning games, if they miss the playoffs, there will be a conversation about him at the end of the year. I think a lot of people here in Jacksonville are hopeful they will turn it around. But I said this, Mike, after the Cleveland game, I have zero expectations now for the Jaguars after these first two games and how bad the offenses look, knowing they got to go to Buffalo on Monday night. And then 6 days later, they have to go to Houston. I mean, they are absolutely staring 0-4 in the face. And if that's the case, then who knows how bad this could really get here.
Yeah, the schedule does seem to get lighter after that. I mean, that's not saying a lot with the opponents you have coming up. But still plenty of time for the Jaguars to, if you will, save their season. Ryan Green, 92.5, 1010XL, Hacker After Dark, joining me on the West Her Hotline. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. I want to just sort of zoom out for a minute. Ryan, one thing I've been talking about a lot this week is how the Bills, and I suppose the Jaguars, are examples of teams like you're seeing all over the league where they just can't get the ball down the field anymore. And to see Josh Allen throw for 139 yards in a game and not even run, by the way, is just really almost incredible. Lawrence's completion percentage is not good, but he's also under 200 yards a game. You know, you mentioned Davis, who's got six catches and no one on the team has more through two games. Again, somewhat similar to what's happened with the Bills, although the Bills are 2-0. Do you have any sort of take on what's going on in this league? I mean, we've got the too high safety conversation going all the time, but, you know, teams are turning to the run.
They are turning to the run, but I think, Mike, it goes back to the Jaguar offensive line issues. I don't think the coordinator or maybe even the head coach trust the line enough to have Trevor drop back and not get it out of his hands pretty quick. I mean, the Jaguars are doing a lot of wide receiver screens. They're doing a lot of slants, things along those lines. I do think that will start changing this week, though. Doug Peterson was very frustrated on Sunday after the Cleveland game. I don't know if you saw Trevor Lawrence's comments after Cleveland.
Yeah.
Trevor was the most agitated, the most angered that I've seen him in his time here in Jacksonville. I mean, he was ticked. And he was ticked at himself. He put blame on himself. But he said, people got to take a long look in the mirror. He was actually quoted as saying, we suck right now.
Yeah.
Which was, again, as animated as I've seen Trevor Lawrence. So I'm going to be very interested what the offensive game plan looks like. The bottom line is they got to get the rookie more involved. When they throw the ball to Brian Thomas Jr., good things happen. Brian Thomas Jr. did not touch the ball until the end of the third quarter last week, and that was a 66-yard reception downfield, which is their longest play of the year. So I think absolutely you're going to see more things for Brian Thomas Jr. in this offense as we move forward.
Yeah, you know, this also reminds me of Bill's talk through the summer at wide receiver. There's been big change here. Davis, of course, having left, being a part of that. And what I was hearing about the Jags was, and maybe this is what you should expect, like the rookie has to earn his time. And so Kirk and Davis, but then week one, and Thomas looked like a star in that game. So I wonder if the pecking order hasn't already moved in this way. You're kind of saying that it has. It's like, is Thomas the guy? Is the bottom line here, Ryan, like the Thomas is the one that the Jaguars really need to turn to here to help get this going?
If he isn't yet, Mike, he will be in a very short amount of time. I think he probably is, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The Christian Kirk thing is weird. He's just done nothing in two games. Now, he had a couple of drops against Miami, but they just couldn't get him the ball. They didn't really even try to get him the ball. Last week against Cleveland, Thomas and Kirk had seven combined targets. Targets, not catches, just targets. That's nonsense. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's why Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator, and Doug Peterson, the head coach, are getting some grief down here for the play calling. Now, some of that's Evan Engram being out. Evan Engram was out with a hamstring last week. We don't know his availability for Monday night, although with a hamstring, it's probably not good. But Evan Engram's back.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Backup Brenton Strange played well last week. Three grabs for, I believe, 65 yards. So the tight end wasn't the issue. I mean, they were using the tight end like they do normally. They just were not throwing the ball to Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas, which was a head-scratcher. That has to change, and I believe it will change Monday. I expect Kirk and Thomas to be a big, big part of what Jacksonville tries to do up there in Buffalo.
Ryan Green, my guest, Mike Shope here on WGR. What are your thoughts on Davis so far? I mean, within the confines of an offense that has just not gotten up to speed yet, you know, he's produced a little bit here. Five first downs on six catches, which is, I mean, that's kind of a part of what Davis's brand is here. It was just kind of the boom or bust nature of his production over the years with the Bills. Is he somebody you're excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe had a really good training camp. And keep in mind, you know, he's excited to be in Jacksonville, back where he played his college football about 90 minutes down the road there in Orlando at UCF. His parents were at the game last week here in Jacksonville. His mother grew up a Jaguar fan. Gabe Davis is very excited to be a Jaguar, which I think matters. And he's been their best receiver, the most consistent receiver so far. Now, at the very end of last week's game against Cleveland, when Jacksonville was scrambling there under a minute to go, he jammed his shoulder into the ground, came off the field, didn't come back. Doug Peterson did say on Monday that Gabe should be fine. The Jaguars actually are off today. They're back on the practice field tomorrow, so we'll start seeing some injury reports come out. But I expect Gabe to be fine and be able to go on Monday as he returns to Buffalo. But, yeah, I like what Gabe Davis has brought here. But again, they're targeting him way more than they're targeting Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas Jr., and I do expect that to change. He will still get targets, but you got to spread the wealth a little bit if you're the Jaguars.
If you don't mind, on Thomas, going back to him for a minute. So here in Buffalo, going into the draft, we spent tons of time on these receivers, right? I mean, the Bills kind of obviously would have been looking in that direction. We've thought that other times, too, and they didn't end up there. But this year, that was the top idea. They end up trading down and getting to Keon Coleman, who ends up at the first pick of the second round being the eighth receiver drafted. Thomas went before the Bills' original pick. There was some talk about him. Ryan, I was worried about Thomas and A.D. Mitchell coming out of this draft because the data on their yards per route run in college were just really terrible. And it's sort of ironic because they look amazing as players. You know, like on film, Brian Thomas looked incredible, but the numbers worried me. What did you feel about the idea? How did you feel about the idea of drafting him?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You know, people were upset here about losing Calvin Ridley in free agency. And the reason Brian Thomas Jr. is here, Mike, is because they lost Calvin Ridley in free agency. Brian Thomas had a slow start to training camp, emerged a little bit as training camp went on, did a couple of nice things in the preseason, but there were still a lot of questions about him. I mean, he's played eight quarters in the NFL, so the story is really yet to be written, but you can see it, man. The touchdown against Miami in week one, talking smack to Jalen Ramsey, which the people here in Jacksonville love. The 66-yard catch last week against Cleveland, they just got to throw him the ball more. I mean, I am very high on Brian Thomas Jr. I'm trying not to get too high, have my expectations too high for a rookie entering his third game, but I'll be very interested. National TV, Monday Night Football, a rookie in Brian Thomas, what he could potentially do moving forward. But I know the fan base is super, super high on this guy out of LSU.
Of course, last year, the Bills and Jaguars met in London, and that was a disastrous day for the Bills with injuries, and then Travis Etienne ends up kind of running all over him in that game, icing the game with a late score. What about Etienne right now? He has scored in each of these first two games. First game, I play a lot of fantasy, like Mike, not as much as Mike, as anybody, but Bigsby was kind of a story in week one, like, oh, maybe this guy is going to be relevant. I've heard Peterson talk about wanting to sort of pace themselves with Etienne as opposed to other years where they might have worn him out. So that made sense. But then was Bigsby not injured last week?
Bigsby got injured on a kickoff return, but it was one of the weird things. I very rarely see this. He was listed as doubtful to come back into the game, and he came back into the game. I can't remember a guy being listed as doubtful to return, and then he comes back in late in the fourth quarter. So again, when the Jaguars get on the field tomorrow, we should know more, but I expect Tank Bigsby to go. But ETN's been good. He just had, let's be honest, a devastating fumble. They lost that game against Miami in week one because Travis fumbled the football. But as you said, a touchdown in week one, a touchdown last week. He's doing well despite the fact that the offensive line isn't very good in run blocking either. And ETN's certainly looking at this opportunity on Monday against a team he had success last year in Buffalo to maybe get going. And it's interesting to talk down here. I'll be quick on this. Last year, you could argue the Jaguar season ended on Monday Night Football. They played Cincinnati and Jake Browning. I'm sure you remember the game where Jake Browning came in and just tore Jacksonville apart on Monday Night Football. Christian Kirk got hurt. Trevor Lawrence got hurt. That was that video of him hobbling to the locker room. Their season ended last year on Monday Night Football. Could their season potentially begin this year on Monday Night Football if they go up there and knock off Buffalo, which would be a big upset, obviously? There's at least some talk about that here, the way people are looking at it in a positive spin. So we'll see, but certainly ETN would have to be a big, big part of that if they're going to do that next Monday night.
Yeah, they could not stop the Bengals. It was shocking in that game. Jacksonville, I'm looking at it now, went in 8-3. And we're at home to a Bengals team without Burrow, and they lose that game in overtime. And what is it, 7 out of 8 since, or including that game? They've lost 7 out of 8?
Yeah, they've lost 7 out of 8, and Trevor wasn't even the starter for the one that they won. C.J. Beathard beat Carolina last year when Trevor missed that game injured. So Trevor hasn't won a game since a Sunday after Thanksgiving last year.
You know, the Bills and Jaguars have an interesting history. The Jaguars represent really mostly an annoyance to the Bills over the years. Two playoff losses, that Urban Meyer year that the Bills went to Jacksonville and lost 9-6, very strange, and then this game in London last year. I mean, there have been a lot of other meetings. I think the Bills might even have a winning record, regular season at least, against Jacksonville, but there have been some kind of memorable losses here.
Yeah, I mean, look, the playoff game, 10-3, you mentioned London, you mentioned Urban Meyer, and Jacksonville knows that. The talk down here this week is Jacksonville's got to go to Orchard Park for the first time in a while. Bills Mafia will be ready for them. Jacksonville's gotten the benefit of the doubt, playing them in London, playing them in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's back's against the wall. They're a touchdown underdog. No one's going to pick them to win. So from on paper, Buffalo's going to win the game. I'm picking Buffalo to win the game, I'll be honest with you. But Jacksonville is playing up the underdog role, them against the world, going out in Buffalo on Monday night. We'll see what happens. But based on the way last week went, they just could not block the Cleveland front four. And knowing that Russo and Ed Oliver and Von Miller are waiting for them up in Buffalo next Monday night, unless things change pretty drastically, I don't know how Jacksonville's going to block the Buffalo front four, to be honest with you.
Ryan, last thing, what do you think of Houston and that division so far? I mean, Tennessee and Indianapolis are also 0-2 like the Jaguars, and I mean, at least difficult starts for those teams. Houston isn't dominating, but they're a well-liked team going in, you know, to the season, betting markets and such, and they have the two wins. Are they a team for you that you expect to pull away, or is it likely to be more even than that?
Yeah, I haven't been impressed with Houston, even though, like you said, they're 2-0. They beat Indy 29-27, and they beat Chicago, kind of survived Chicago 19-13. Yeah. Jacksonville's going to see Houston a week from Sunday, 6 days after they play Buffalo, which is certainly a tough six-day stretch for the Jaguars. I mean, Houston's clearly the favorite in the South, but I don't think that's saying a whole lot because Indy, Tennessee, and Jacksonville haven't looked very good. Jacksonville, though, has talent. There's no doubt they have talent. Like I said, Mike, they could not have played any worse on offense the first two games. They were awful in the first two games, and they still had an opportunity to win both. If they get functional offense moving forward with the way their defense is playing, they're going to, again, have a chance to win every game, but they got to start winning. I mean, you can't start 0-3 or 0-4 and expect to do very much. So it is a big, big stretch here over the next week and a half for the Jags. They got to get at least one of at Buffalo and at Houston. And then after that, it's Indy, New England, Chicago, and maybe they can make up some ground at that point.
Right. Makes sense. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Green, Hacker After Dark, 1010XL in Jacksonville. Thanks for your time and best to Mr. Dempsey.
Hey, pal. Anytime. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Ryan Green at Ryan Green, 1010XL. There's that Doug Flutie game with the Jaguars, Bills. He's talking about the records. So I mentioned this yesterday, like you may have noticed, Baltimore at 0-2, they're at Dallas on Sunday. The Bills go to Baltimore for Sunday night football in week four. And I mean, there's a coin flip chance that the Ravens go into that game 0-3 at home. And then the Bills go to Houston the following week. So great start. And you're going to want this game, but then tougher tests, although maybe not in terms of the Ravens, as daunting as it looked before the season started. Going to take a break here for the update. The Sabres were on the ice for the first time, the whole team, as training camp opened, and it started ominously as Rasmus Dahlin left with some kind of an injury that, I don't know, listening to Lindy Ruff, didn't exactly sound like nothing. At least you have to hope it's not super bad, but we'll see what Paul Hamilton knows about it and whatever else happened at the first day at camp today after the update. Sal will join me in 40 minutes as we get caught up on the Bills and their injuries and this matchup with the Jaguars. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is out sick today. This is WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.